And now for something completely different. Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating. Friday, as we head into the weekend, not being afraid even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, the Word of God is our guide. It helps us understand how to bring glory to the Father, to worship Jesus, to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It teaches us to walk by faith and not by sight. It teaches us to love one another. It teaches us that there's an enemy who absolutely despises us and is persistently at war with us. You are at war. Next, we need to open our eyes to the increase of spiritual warfare. The enemy is attacking from two significant fronts. Now listen, one of those attacks comes from the world. He attacks the church through counterfeit righteousness that the world claims is moral. And then the other attack comes from within the church itself. The enemy attacks by trying to divide the people of God. You know, he also heard Jesus say, "A house divided." Right? And finally, Pastor Ray shares his wisdom by sharing God's wisdom with us. I didn't even know this when I chose this devotional. I'm just telling you, this is like two things that have happened today. But Pastor Ray talks about how God protects and prays for us, even when the enemy tries to sift us like wheat. Just makes me think this show might have a target audience, and that would be you.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. I like that. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Got my $1.19 Chromebook right. You guys are thinking, that's more than $1.19. Not this one. That's all I'm going to say. Most people know I'm a little cheap. That's how it goes. If you send me an email, I'll get it. So you can do that. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. As I mentioned prior, the problems with the text were not David-related. It's amazing. It's almost like that's a miracle.
Yay!
Exactly. It wasn't my normal Magneto problems or powers or whatever those things are. So if you want to text in, you can. I can't really reply because right now people are texting in and it's working and I don't want to do anything. But because they said it might be a couple of days, just text away if you have an answer or a comment. Just, I'm not going to text you back today. It's not because I don't love you. It's just I'm trying to preserve the phone and make sure I can have contact with everybody. You can also call us at 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. And when you do that, you will have a chance to talk to amazing Jennifer.
Hello.
And that will be like just like getting a great massage. Is that great? I mean, do you like good massage? Any people like massage?
I've had one, yes.
You've had one in your whole life?
Yeah, one. I did on my birthday this year. That was my
did
birthday
really?
Gift to myself.
Good for you. Anyway, it's delightful. It's wonderful. Then she turns you over to me, and then you go and take some ibuprofen. Here's the bottom line, though. This can be for any part of conversation you want. It could be something you want to share about the Lord's working in your life. It could be a praise report. It could be a prayer request. It could be something that you have a question on. We'll do our best to answer off the top. And then if it's a deeper question, we'll answer later on with a little more thorough investigation. But we also do Bible trivia. Here's your first Bible trivia. Get ready. Yeah, I've been into these fill-ins lately. I don't know what's going on, but I kind of like them. Everybody should know this. Is that bad for me to say that? Probably. The blank says in his heart, there is no blank. The blank says in his heart, There is no blank. Your only help in this will be checking out Psalm 14. The blank says in his heart, there is no. Okay. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email David at hemustincrease.org. Speaking of which, let's do our little play for hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so you guys can check that out. There's some cool stuff there. You know, we do some fun things. I mean, most people have, by now, they have located that there is actually a kitchen sink on the website. You know how they used to say that? Everything but the kitchen sink? Yeah, I put that on there. All right, do we have somebody ready to answer the trivia question? All right, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Yes, sir. This is Will Rogers.
Hi, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I hope you're better.
I am doing fantastic. I'm so happy I'm done with one of the classes. I must tell you, I confess, I am relieved. I'm like, oh, praise the Lord. So we'll see what happens when the grade comes in, but at least I'm done, so I can relax a little. All right, my brother, here we go. You ready for this? You need to fill in the blanks for me. You got to tell people what it says. The blank says in his heart, there is no blank. What's the first blank?
The fool says in his heart, there is no God.
That is correct, sir! 100% correctamundo. I'm just going to go on a limb and say you probably knew that when you heard it. Am I right?
As soon as I did, yes.
Good job. Excellent work. That's what you got to remember is when you're talking to people and you're sharing about the Lord or whatever, and they're like, there's no God. It's like, where do we go from here? You got to at least have enough wisdom.
It's real hard to tell them they're a fool.
Yeah, right. You don't want to sit there and break it down for them that way, but it sure gives you the wisdom to understand, I've got to handle this carefully.
Amen to that.
Amen. Good job, brother. Excellent work.
And blessings on you and your show.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're having fun. All right. Let me get into this text. Don't get upset. Just listen. Okay. If you don't remember, you don't have to agree with everything on this show. It's not an agree with everything requirement that you sign. But if there's anything that we do and it draws you one step closer, we're winning. We're doing what we're trying to accomplish. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And no, we are not going to look at this right at this time from the all-millennial, premillennial, or post-millennial point of view. Just listen to what it says. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of the old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. What I want you to pick up on these little things like this, is in the text of Revelation 12:9, go check it out in almost any version, especially in the Greek. It says, the serpent of old who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. That word deceives is in the perfect present tense. What does that mean? It means that it's a continual action taking place now. And you're thinking, well, wait. You're trying to say that Satan is deceiving the world now? Yes. Well, how's he doing that? If you have ever talked to anybody who's PC, politically correct, but now it's just progressively corrupt, same-sex or transgender or Christianity is hate speech or legally illegal drugs or any of the cultural movements, if you've ever talked to anybody who's in that, even though you don't know that you've had an encounter with a demon, you've had an encounter with demonic teaching. Right then and there. You think, what? Let me help you. I'm going to spell it out for you. This is not the easiest stuff to hear, but you got to hear it. Anything contrary to God's word, that's a teaching, not anything different, okay? Anything contrary to God's word, anything that has a, yea, hath God said, has a demonic element to it. In 1 Timothy 4:1, it mentions that there will be doctrines of demons. How do you think doctrines of demons get out? How do those teachings of demons get out? Well, the demon doesn't show up and go, hi, I'm a demon, and I've got a great teaching for you, and I'd like to talk to you about it. Okay? That's not how it happens. It's the philosophies of the world that the world tries to establish as true righteousness, that is, a righteousness apart from Christ is what they're trying to kind of bring to people's hearts and minds. And you know it's absolutely demonic because the only righteousness that man can achieve is the righteousness that's imputed through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. But what the world says is, no, this is how we'll make it all fair. We'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this. Have you ever noticed something about all of these different cultural movements? There's so much confusion, they eat their own. They don't even know how to handle the process. And that's because it's a false righteousness that they're promoting. John 17:17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The word of God. Now, we're one of those weird people that we believe God created the universe. He can write a book. I know, that is crazy, but we stand in it. God created the universe. He can write a book. And then people are like, oh, but. And it's like, okay, God created the universe. We did this in the last segment. He can write a book. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you want to know where the truth is, it's in the word of God. If you want to know where the lies are and the demonic teachings are, it's anything contrary to the word of God. If you've ever encountered it, that's demonic, isn't it? All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
My next guest has been on the show before with a prior book. I'm very excited to talk to him about this book. I've seen a couple of the interviews that he's done, and this book is a great apologetic book on Christology, and I'm hoping that people will really enjoy this. First and foremost, let's welcome back to our show David Limbaugh. David, how are you doing, sir?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Excellent book, by the way. Big props for writing the true Jesus, uncovering the divinity of Christ in the Gospels. I know they give me a list, and I know they give a list for us to ask questions, but if you remember from the last time you were on the show, I rarely look at that list.
So, no, that's good. That's good.
Because I like to get from you as the author, you know, kind of where it was going and what you were thinking. So let's just talk about, at the core level, you know, for the purpose of writing this book, what was the big goal you were trying to accomplish in writing the true Jesus?
Well, I started out, I wanted to write a primer, a survey, an introduction to the New Testament. And as I got into it, I realized that I could not cover it adequately with sufficient depth. So I asked the publisher, Regnery, if I could narrow the focus to just the Gospels, because the Gospels are where you see the living Son of God and you encounter him. And you sit at his feet and hear his teachings and you watch him and you observe his behavior and his authoritative teaching and his empathy for human beings. And you see his declaration of divinity and why he led the Jewish authorities to want to crucify him, because he was, in fact, claiming to be God, because he is God. And so I want his divinity and his full humanity to jump off the pages of my book. And the book is a compendium of the four Gospels, in a consolidated account, not attempting to be a harmony, which you can't totally do, and in a roughly chronological form, The ultimate goal, and with a running commentary, the ultimate goal is I want to inspire people to read the Gospels and the Bible for themselves.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okie dokie. Now, if you guys remember, all righty is not a theological term, but okie dokie artichokey is.
It's like I'm going to open up a college and that's going to be our theme. That's good. You know, we love Jesus with all our heart. Okie dokie. That'll be our theological statement.
Okay, here's an easy one, but you got to get it right. I think most of you will get this right. It's another fill in the blank. And it's like, I think I got one more fill in the blank. Do I have one more after that? I got to check. Anyway, you guys should know this one. This is a classic passage. You should, if you don't know it, you should memorize it. Here we go. Trust in the Lord with all your blank and lean not on your own blank. Trust in the Lord with all your blank and lean not on your own blank. The only thing I'll tell you is Proverbs. That's the one thing I'll give you. It's in Proverbs. You can call in 972-445-0770. You can text in 214-210-8483. Of course, you can also email David at hemustincrease.org. While people are considering that trivia question, so let's make sure you understand it. Trust in the Lord with all your blank, and then lean not on your own blank. I got to come up with another word than blank. It just sounds so strange. Anyway, somebody's already calling in. So if you want to text in, you only got a little bit of time to do that. 214-210-8483. For those that have not yet figured it out, it's going to be Proverbs 3:5. 3:5. 3:5 and 6 are like my faves. I pray them every morning because I need it. But here we go. We'll have somebody answer the trivia question, and then we'll do slightly bad jokes after that. Okay? Ready? Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Donna Gale.
Hey, what's happening? How are you? Long time no talk to.
Yes, sir.
All right, here you go. This is a classic, Donna, so you got to get this right. Trust in the Lord with all your
heart.
That's correct. And lean not on your own
understanding.
There you go. Good job. Very good work. Excellent, excellent job, Donna. Thank you so much. Great, great, great work. Go ahead.
I'm not calling in no more today.
Okay, but you did good, so you should be proud of that. That's really good work.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. God bless. Bye-bye. She's not calling in no more. Oh, bless her. All right. You got that ding ding thing? You're going to need that ding ding thing. The buzzer or the applaud, right? That thing there? Okay. You let me know. Or you can do the applause or any of the other things. Any other sound effects you feel are appropriate, I surrender to your wisdom. Here we go. Okay. Now, I'm going to do the first two or three to warm you up, everybody in the audience. Because there's one on here that's really bad. Okay? I'm telling you it's bad. I'm warning you. In fact, if the kids are in the room, cover their ears. How about that? But let's start off with these other ones. What did the stormtrooper say? Thinking of Star Wars. What did the stormtrooper say when he went into church for the first time? Ready? Pew, 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 pew. Okay. All right. I can see how this is going to go. A friend was lamenting that Take Me to Church was playing at her son's roller skating birthday party. She thought the song was too sad for roller skating. I completely agreed and said there should definitely be a separation of church and skate. Hey, I didn't write these, folks. I didn't make them up. What do you call Batman who skips church? Christian Bale.
No!
All right. If you took all the people in the world who fell asleep during church and laid them head to toe in a straight line,
they would be a lot more comfortable.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Okay. All right. Here's the last one. Here we go. Local church recently held a masquerade-themed dinner, and whilst the priest was saying grace, I suddenly realized it was a blessing in disguise because it was a masquerade dinner. Okay. Okay. I wasn't going to win with any of those. It doesn't matter. Okay, just smile. It's Friday. Aren't you tired of all the other? Okay. All right, now listen to what I'm going to say. I'm going to kind of preset this teaching just a little bit, okay? So we were just talking about Satan, and we're going to bring that up again, but we're not going to focus on Satan. We're going to focus on something else, but I need to get this text to do it, so don't get all devil crazy on me, okay? Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and power and kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night." Okay. Who do we know is the accuser of the brethren? Well, we know that's Satan. But the question is, why does he have that title? In other words, we understand that certain names and certain titles go with people and their either personalities or functionalities, whatever the case may be. Okay? And for those that are wondering, that's really where Smith came from, because most people were Smiths or Smythes, really. So what do we think is going on here? Here's what I want you to be aware of. It's one of the things that I find to be one of the great challenges in the doctorate arena, going through this doctorate element, and that is we are quickly forgetting that the devil is called the accuser of the brethren for a reason, and the reason is he's trying to generate division in the church. You notice he just doesn't say accuser of everybody who walks down the street. Accuser of the people that are in 7-Eleven. Accuser of the driver next to you, okay? Which that one might have applied, but I guess it doesn't. He's the accuser of the brethren. And the brethren is understood in every theological context as the church in mass or the church as whole. Guess who is also a part of that church of as a whole? You are. And so Satan not only accuses other brothers and sisters, but Satan accuses you, and that's what he does. You think, well, why would he accuse me? Because if you can operate in this on this bondage of accusation, you will be less effective as a Christian. And if he can get the church to be accusing one another and to beat up on one another, then you could understand that his purpose is to drive that division within the church, because what's the real thing that's going on? Even if the church is attacked on the outside by the world, it's never going to prevail. The better strategy is to attack from within and let it divide and fall apart. It's not going to happen because Jesus said it's not going to happen. But that's the kind of area we need to be aware of, that a house divided cannot stand, and we as Christians need to be aware there's different people in different rooms in the house of God, period. And what is wrong with that? Nothing. I grew up in Southfield, Michigan on 25570 Catalina Drive, and my sister had a room, and my brother had a room, and I had a room. We were all spoons, but we all had different rooms, different posters, different things in the room, different things we liked, but we were all spoons. Get it? All in one house. So when you're sitting there and you look at the denomination that you don't like, or you don't have gravitation to, it doesn't mean that the people that do that differently are bad. It just means that you're different and you like something different. Not everybody likes chocolate ice cream. Not everybody likes vanilla ice cream. Not everybody likes strawberry ice cream. In fact, now there's so many different flavors, you can't even keep up. My point in bringing all this in is because Jesus made it absolutely clear in John 13:35, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Division is more hatred than disagreement within the church nowadays, because people are so prideful. They're like, my doctrine is right. Really? Only God's doctrine is perfect. man's interpretation of God's doctrine. But let's look at what King David said. Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a companion to all those who fear you, to those who keep your precepts. If somebody looks at the eschatology and it's different, or they see it different than you do, that's not your enemy. That's your brother who sees it differently than you do. I'll make this really clear, and I'll be very careful how I do this. Many people out there have seen the movie Star Wars. I'm gonna venture most of you have seen it. I know probably, I'd say, maybe at least 100 people that have seen it more than one time, okay? I mean, I'm just saying, okay? Out of those 100 people, I know two for sure that can't stand Star Wars. They just absolutely, positively don't like Star Wars. You know what? That doesn't make them less human. I know you might want to think that, but that's wrong. Okay? In other words, they can not like it. It's fine. All right? That's not the issue. They're still bleeding red blood. They still breathe the same oxygen. They're still pursuing the same Lord. They still have the same Heavenly Father. We have the same Lord Jesus Christ, and we have the same Holy Spirit, of which we drink of one fountain. So we'll just keep it real simple. Is the Trinity divided? No. Because we have one Father, we are blood relatives through Jesus Christ, and we drink of one Holy Spirit. Does that mean we're all going to do it the same or think it the same? I want you to visit yourself 20 years ago and tell me what you think. Besides, if I saw myself 20 years ago, I'd slap myself. I'm not the same person 20 years ago that I am today. There's always differences and changes and growth and so on and so forth. Doesn't mean I should hate myself. Division is a lot different than difference. Let's appreciate the differences and watch the divisions. Okay? Got it? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to understand. Bad news does not necessitate that there is nowhere else to go except to weep. In Psalm 112, verse 7, the scripture says, "He will not fear bad news. His heart is confident, trusting in the Lord." It's not pie in the sky to look at the situation and go, "Gosh, it's terrible, but I'm going to hold hope because hope is the only thing I have to move past it. If it never comes about, that's fine, but I'm going to live every day believing that there's a better tomorrow. When people think of that, they think, "Oh, Christianity, it's a crutch. It's the opiate of the people," is what Karl Marx said. It takes more guts, more strength, more determination in this day and age to be a Christian and to stand in your faith than it does to be any other thing that there is, because it's the Christians who are under persecution, and it's the people of faith that are getting slaughtered, and, oh, by the way, throughout the world that's taking place. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, we got our next trivia question. So we've had a couple of answers in. We're doing pretty good. I think we're doing pretty good for Friday, all right? And you've done a fantastic job, Jennifer, so I just want to thank you.
Oh, well, thank you.
You really have done a just wonderful
Thanks
wonderful
for
job.
Having me.
Our privilege, okay? I'll send you that $20 later.
Okay.
All right. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus sweated great drops of what? What? I will give you the reference because I think it's important for us to know. That's going to be Luke 22:44, as all the answers are coming in, and we like that. We like answers coming in because that's a blessing for us to know. We also have somebody calling in. It's good to see the texts. Good to see the texts are working. Like I said, I'm not going to reply to texts today because I don't want my phone to turn into sand. But be assured I'm seeing everybody's text, okay? So, hi, Eric. Okay. All right. Ready for somebody to answer? All right, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Brother. I guess the radio might have been on that one.
Yes. Because radio killed a radio star, so yep. I said, okay, I'll just be settled down on a phone.
You got it, bro. All right, my good friend. Here's a classic. I know you know this. We can do this together, but here you go. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus sweated great drops of...
B-L-O-O-D.
Correctamundo! That would be blood! So intense that the pores, he secreted blood, which tells you how intense that experience must have been. And yet, what was his answer to the Father? Even though he wanted the cup to pass from him, what did he say?
Not my will, but your will be done.
Exactly! Now, if we could just learn to pray with that attitude, we would just do so much better in the trust category and in the, you know, in the confidence category, because then we would trust that God would have his will done and we would believe him. So it was a full submission to what God wanted. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. How you doing today, by the way? Are you feeling any better?
Very good.
Good.
Hey, David, can I share a brief testimony?
Yeah, sure.
Regarding the other, the first trivia question you shared.
No, yeah, absolutely.
From Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. In 2000, I was on a mission field, and I got a Lyme disease, and I was almost dying. First, like if I had a Lyme disease or not. But one friend from California, I think he had it, so he recognized those symptoms, and then he took me to the doctor. However, in between the floor where I was staying on the dorm, on that hallway, there was this scripture, like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean not on your own understanding, but and he will make your path straight. So that's really give me strength. So I put all my trust in God and his word. And within a month, I was diagnosed with that, got the treatment, and I was well. And then I was doing the VBS with the churches. So since then, that's become one of my lifetime favorite scripture, and that I put my trust in the Lord.
Amen, brother. That's a great testimony. Great job sharing that. And that should be an encouragement to everybody that's hearing. Doesn't matter what you're going through. That Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That is the way to do it. Excellent job, my brother.
Yeah, because my biggest fear on those days was like, I don't want to die, that my family will receive my dead body, because I was that much sick. I mean, if I walk for a minute, I have to lay down for 10 minutes to catch the breath and strength. And that's, I said, Lord, I don't want to die. And this is scripture really helps me to put my trust and become the anchor of my life.
Amen.
Yeah. So I praise God for this scripture that he gave me through that hallway.
Well, we thank God that he didn't take you early and that you were able to share that with us, because, look, your life now is a blessing for our audience. So we appreciate that.
Oh, thank you, David.
All right,
and
my
Shabbat
brother.
Shalom.
Shabbat shalom. God bless, bro.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Excellent testimony. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay. I'm going to have to do it. I don't have a choice. We're gonna do our history, and then we're gonna do the Pastor Ray thingy mabobber there. Okay. So let's do history sound real fast.
Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live it in the past.
And really, I just want to say, look at. Next week, I have to start a more regimented diet. This is like my 15th one. Let's see. We've been on the show. We've had two and a half years. I've had 2 years of diets. You can tell how good that's working. But today is National Sugar Cookie Day. See?
Yum!
See? Come on. See? That's not my fault. I find these things often. Today is also Fashion Day, something I have been rebelling against for almost 60 years.
Okay. Good for you.
I am not a fashion guy. Okay. In fact, it wasn't for my wife, who I have to actually say to her, I know you guys think this is a joke, but I don't. I say to her, does this look dorky?
What does she say?
Three quarters of the time, no. But there's that other part of the time where she'll go, no.
Yeah. Change.
No. No. Not with me. Just like, that's all you got to know right there. Okay. That's it. We're going to go into the Pastor Ray thing. No. Change. Or somebody else is taking me. Okay. Let me read this to you from Pastor Ray. Now, again, I picked this. Didn't realize I'd be doing these two segments on the enemy. So just bear with me. But this is really good because Pastor Ray, he always has the coolest stuff. Here's what he wrote. Satan has asked that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail, and when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. Being sifted as wheat is painful when we're the ones getting shaken and forced through a sieve to separate the chaff, impurities, and the sin from our lives. I think the whole world is feeling sifted right now. We're facing a viral enemy, and we're fighting fear and anxiety and other temptations to deal with it. But we're not alone if we can only grasp who is praying for us. Simon Peter was quick to act, quick to speak, and easily influenced by fear and intimidation. Jesus knew that. He knew Peter would betray him before the crucifixion. He even warned him, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you'll disown me three times." He knew the trials and dangers Peter would face as he lived to serve the risen Lord. He also knew that Peter would fail at times. But Jesus promised to pray for Peter, that in the end, Peter's faith would not fail him, and that he would turn back, rise again in God's Spirit, and give strength and encouragement to his brothers. Jesus prayed for Peter, and Jesus prays for you and me. I pray also for those who will believe. And this is what Jesus said in John chapter 17, 20 through 26. I find that encouraging and comforting, Ray wrote, that the greatest prayer warrior in the universe is praying for me, for my faith, for my future. I read this line somewhere, Satan preys upon people, but Jesus prays. Jesus knew that Satan would get out and get Simon Peter, and he would go after him. That's why he told him, Satan has asked for you that he might sift you like wheat. Spiritual warfare waged about Peter's soul. Jesus knew the heartache and the shocking revelation Peter would experience when he realized he had indeed betrayed his Lord. But Jesus also knew he had a plan for Peter's life, one that would defeat Satan and secure Peter's place in the kingdom forever. Jesus knew what awaited his beloved disciple, so he prayed. When you feel sifted by Satan, discouraged, defeated, or afraid, remember that since we have a great high priest who's gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. This is a quote from a Scottish preacher. If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. Isn't that just like, wow? First of all, one day I want to write like that. I just want to say, because that's just unbelievable. And then the other part about that is to understand, you know, who it is for praying. Listen to that quote. If I could hear Christ praying in the room next to me, I would not fear a million enemies. So if you could hear Jesus praying for you in the next room, would you be like, oh, okay, I'm cool. I'll be fine. And yet the point is that the distance doesn't make a difference, because Scripture makes it clear that Jesus lives to make intercession for us. He's at the right hand of Father interceding for us. Just read Romans chapter 8. And that's what we have. We go through all this stuff and up and down. Yeah, I dropped some, you know, some heavier stuff on you earlier today, but it's important for you to recognize, hey, we're in a spiritual warfare. But we're not in any of this, be it spiritual warfare or ridiculous situations, we're not in any of this alone. Jesus not only cares for us, he knows what's going to happen. Seven times he said to the churches in Revelation, I know, I know, I know, I know. And he's praying for us, covering us, interceding for us. That should give you and I a great deal of comfort, right? Okay. All right, we got one more segment. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Then he says this, don't be afraid. Why should you not be afraid? Because what fear does is immobilizes a person, stops them from moving forward, and it also eats away at faith. Fear has this way. It's kind of like if you think of faith as, I'll do this now, as a chocolate ice cream that has peanut butter in it, okay? That's faith, okay? Fear is like somebody drilling a hole underneath and then taking a little spoon and then pulling some of that faith down, a little scoop by scoop by scoop by scoop. And you don't want your faith reduced, because God requires faith to us to engage with him in. That's his requirement. That's the vehicle by which he has chosen to engage with humanity. You don't think God could have said, it's me, you're going to believe, or I'm going to turn you into a fish. I mean, you don't think God could have done that? But he chose the vehicle of faith because that's what he wanted from those that would come to him. A confidence, an assurance in the goodness of God. So Jesus, the first thing he says, ignore it, Don't be afraid of it. And then he does this one radically crazy, nutsy cuckoo line. Just believe. And we use that in movies and in books and in fairy tales and all that stuff. We're not talking about any of that stuff. This is believing, looking at a situation just like Abraham did, just like we talked yesterday, how Abraham looked at the circumstance, didn't deny he was old, didn't deny he was past childbearing, and said, I'm just going to believe God anyway. That attitude of just believe, it's taking a stand in the framework of your faith that says, I'm not moving. Here I am. Call me Bulldog. I'm right here. I'm not going nowhere. My faith is solid. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Here is your final trivia question of the week. Okay. Your final trivia question of the week. Who said, before Abraham was born, I am? Who said that? Before Abraham was born, I am. All right, if you think you know, you can call in at 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Got a lot of people calling and responding. Yay! Everybody's getting it right, just in case anybody wants to know. All the texts are coming through. It's like, whoa, it's a Friday miracle. Dave's texts are working.
You know that one? Oh, it's a Christmas miracle.
Okay, so anyway, we'll have that person answer the question, and then we'll do a Hebrew word, and then we'll do our final teach, which will be definitely more uplifting. Are we ready for them? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is your brother, Ace.
Hey, brother Ace. Great to hear you, my brother.
And you too, always.
All right. You and everybody's praying for you. And if you're in the audience, you're listening, you pray for brother Ace. You pray for him to have a lot of strength in the morning, a lot of strength in the afternoon, and that the Lord will just fill him up with a power and anointing, okay? All right. I love you, brother. Praying for you every day. Okay.
Thank you.
Who said, before Abraham was born, I am?
Our great master, Yeshua Messiah, Jesus.
That is correct, Amundo. Before Abraham was born, I don't know. There's a lot of statements that Jesus made. That's a pretty strong one from a divinity point of view. Let's say, before Abraham was, I am. Okay. Amen. All right then, right? Mm-hmm. It's like
yeah. Well, how do you justify, and I don't want to get you off right here, but in Revelation 3:14, when it says this, Alpha and Omega is the beginning of the creation of Yahweh, our God in heaven, the one that can't be seen. Is that a scripture that you can understand and relate to?
Say that again so I can just know which reference you made it. I lost you on what the reference was. Give me the reference again.
Revelation 3:14, it says the Alpha and the Omega, who is the beginning of the creation of God or Yahweh.
Right, but that's Jesus being a part of the creative process. So when you say Alpha and Omega, the A and the Z, the beginning point is the A, and Jesus is the A. So when it says in the beginning God, then God is in the beginning.
Amen. Okay, good. Thank you.
All right, my brother. Okay, we'll tell you. I love questions like that. We'll have to have you call back and we'll ask that in a little more different way, and then I'll give you a full, like, kind of deepy on it, okay?
You did. Thank you so much.
All right, God bless you, brother. Bye-bye. Okay. Love him, Brother Ace. You guys got to pray for him. That's what God brought him into your universe. Okay, let's do our Hebrew word.
Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Venezuela.
Matzah balls. Okay, sir. Okay. That's right. That always has to be something. Psalm 103, verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. The Hebrew word for forgives is salach. 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 It means to forgive, to pardon, to spare someone, to relieve someone from the burden of their offense. Listen to that. To relieve someone from the burden of their offense. You ever done something wrong and you carry that weight? Well, salach is the removal of that.
Isn't that cool? Forgives. He forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Salach, forgives. That's the Hebrew word. Okay. We got that done. Do we have anything else left to do? Let's do the website one more time, and then I'll do the final teach. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie, artichoke. Theology for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. These are one of those, this is one of those classic breakdowns where as soon as you see it, you're like going, ooh. Okay. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? I just want to start this off real quickly. Praise to God. Not complaints to God. Not bring your laundry list to God. Not check off and make sure he knows all the different things that you think he needs to be aware of to God. Praise to God. In Romans chapter 1, first I thank my God. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Praise to God, not complaints. Okay? It's easy to complain, right? Because most of the complaining we do is our selfish dissatisfaction, but that's not how we're supposed to walk in the newness of life. We're supposed to praise God. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4, praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, as opposed to the enemy who's called the Father of lies. Now, isn't that a fascinating contrast? The enemy is called the Father of lies, and God is called the Father of compassion. So who do you want to follow in that process? Why would you want to follow the Father of lies? Why would you want to yield to the Father of lies when you can be yielded and connected to the Father of compassion, who's aware of everything that's going on, who, through the Holy Spirit who lives inside you, knows everything you're going through and can comfort you at every level, at every depth. God doesn't surface cover, okay? Surface cover is just going to do a quick sweep, quick scan of it. God knows to the very core what shakes you and I. And if I tend to believe, because I give God a lot of credit, he protects us from that core vibrating too often. Because I think if we operated there, we'd not do that well. And God looks upon us and has compassion. And in fact, his compassion is so fantastic that Lamentations says it's new every morning. That's what I want. I want to, when I go to bed and I wake up the next day, you know what I want? I want to forget what was. Just, okay, let's start again. Let's do it again. I want the mercies, the grace, the kindness, the compassion of God fresh every morning. And then it says this: praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Which, when I read that, now this is not the perfect interpretation, not the perfect expository on this, but when I read that, the God of all comfort is as opposed to the God who blasts us. There's an idea that God, you know, he's got to get his, you know, 5 pounds of whipping in before he's nice to you. That doesn't exist anywhere in Scripture. That's just ridiculous. Okay? If the Lord wanted to rip you and I to shreds, he'd just judge us based on our sins and we'd all be gone. Everybody would be disappeared from existence and it would be over and there'd be nothing to say. But God is a God who comforts us, not blasts us. In fact, when we're seeking wisdom, it says, you know, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without finding fault. If God wanted to find fault with you, he would, but he doesn't. He's trying to have mercy on you. He's trying to be compassionate to you. He's trying to encourage you. And then the close on it, which you just can't miss this. And verse 4 is, who comforts us in all our troubles. Now, you got people out there that are like, well, that doesn't mean all your troubles. Okay. So the word all means every, and the word every means all. So You know, outside of just completely changing language and everybody speaking Klingon, I'm going to go with that's what it means. It means what it says. It's all. It's not select problems based on divine programming in heaven, which God chooses based on the entertainment value that he feels he can bring to the hosts of heaven because it's funny to watch you squirm. This, what you're talking about? I have all kinds of different troubles. I venture probably most people have this. There's financial, yeah, sure. There's physical, sure. There's spiritual. There's emotional. There's psychological. There's everything I can think of under the sun. As far as I'm concerned, now in society, there's entertainment. There's entertainment struggles because it's hard to watch something without wanting to throw up. There's traffic troubles. Driving the traffic, you're like going, okay, try that long pedal on the right. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is God will comfort us through all of that. The best illustration I can give you, and I'm just going to do it, and people are going to like think, okay, you're a little strange, is I used to have this, just this great comforter. It was white with flowers. I don't want to hear about it. Okay, I don't want to hear about it. But it was so comfortable. It wasn't even partly comfortable. It's the thing that you could lay down with, and it just had that great feel. And you just kind of like, yeah, it was the best blankie ever. God is better than my comforter at being a comforter. And he does it all because he loves us. Okay? Let's close out with a word of prayer as we send you out towards the week. End. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. We pray in the name of Jesus with help from the Holy Spirit. We worship you and acknowledge you and thank you and praise you for the goodnesses that you've brought into our lives. You're a God of compassion and a God of comfort, and we need that right now. And for all the stuff that's been talked about, all the good that will draw people closer to you, let them hang on to that. And all that won't, let it just fall by the wayside. And let your grace and your mercy prevail in all that we think and all that we say and all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 72.5-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.